Amen.
My goodness. Bro, I didn't even know that was in you. My goodness. For a moment there, I felt like I was at a Broadway concert hall or something. That was very nice. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for that. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Amen. Sister Rachel, you want to?
We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Troubles, they come knocking at your door. Don't be afraid, you know it's not like before. Don't you give in, don't let it bring you down, 'cause you don't have to worry anymore. We've been made more than conquerors. Every day, there's no reason for you to go astray. Don't go leaning to your understanding, 'cause you don't have to worry anyway.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Rich. Thank you, Sophia. Did good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's take up our offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Bob, you want to come help us take up our offering? Amen. Praise God. Let's just sing this song, Key of F, Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus. As just right before Brother Wade comes. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be
just count the cost. Take up your cross and follow him.
Let's stand to our feet.
Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Just count the cost and take up your cross and follow him.
We can sing that again.
Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Just count the cost and take up your cross and follow him.
Just count the cost.
Oh, just count the cost and take up your cross and follow him.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother Branham, they always would ask him what age would he rather live in. He said, in this age. But that was in his time when he was here on earth. That should be what we should say, amen. This is the age, amen, where we see the coming of the Lord, the body change and things. We got such great things to be looking to, amen. It's even happening even now, amen. If you've got the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. Let's have Brother Wade come, so let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as he comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. See you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Move that flower over just a little bit. I'm trying to get Sister Cleta arranged over here, so it's well worth the time. That's right. She said, uh-huh. Yeah, it is. Well worth the time. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here on a Wednesday in the middle of the week. Good to have everybody here, all the smiling faces. And good to see. Oh, my Lord, you've grown up. Oh, my grief. Oh, Jeremiah, that was great. Man, I know you don't get after your daddy, but your mama. Yeah, kind of, okay. All right. I know Brother Matthew, he barely played basketball, much less play an instrument. So, but good to have you with us. Do we have the, the Bourlevon gang here or some that are connected to it? Michael, good to see you here tonight. Are you chauffeuring them around? Okay, that's all right. Good to have a chauffeur at 6'7". Amen. So, if you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews 9. We'll make our announcements. Remember, If you do not have the address, I think I saw Brother Joe in the back there, the anniversary meeting thing we have, the flyer. Now he's got the address on it. So if you want to get one of those, but it's 6467 Old Gillsville Road, Gillsville 30543. So just remember that and keep that meeting in your prayer. Go ahead and start praying for it. Amen. That everything will be done decently and in order. By way of announcements, Brother Jorge Rivas. Did I do that right, Luis? Yeah. Okay. Brother Jorge Rivas is going to be here next year. Jorge. George. Brother George Rivas is going to be with us from Columbia. He's going to be with us, and Brother Luis is probably, Luis will be preaching Tuesday night too, so he'll be interpreting. But next Tuesday now, not next Wednesday, this next Tuesday, the 15th, a week from yesterday, we're having church service here. And then Wednesday morning, the ladies are going up to Pigeon Forge, and the guys are heading up to Helen for our Father's Day annual fishing trip. We can't call it camping trip anymore because Brother Luke says we're not camping anymore. We've done got soft. And we're staying in a place with air conditioning. He says that's not camping. So bless his heart, he's about 7. You wait till he gets 70. And he'll enjoy that. So good to have, like I said, to have the youth here. Some of them are going to Brother Jason Watkins church this weekend for the youth meetings they're having there. So let's pray for that. Also, Sunday after the second service, Brother Terrence has already announced, but this will be for the Father's Day trip, not for the July the 3rd and 4th. This will be for the Father's Day trip. The only one the men needs. So anyway, just saying. And then remember, if you're going, the sign-up sheet's downstairs. Terrence announced that we're going to pull it down. I think about everybody's going to go, but you need to let us know, really. You don't know how stressful it is for somebody to show up that's not on the list, and then you've got to feed them, and you didn't really, well, they weren't coming. So I don't try to have extra food so we can take it all home. I try to make it where we got enough eggs for everybody and enough this and that and the other, but if another 2 or 3 hungry men show up, that's why we are so adamant about coming or not coming. You've had a whole year to figure out if you're coming or not. So we want everybody to come. But if you're not going, if you don't sign up, don't come. But we're going to be there at Wednesday at 4 p.m. It's when we're checking into the lodge. It's the same lodge we went to last year, so you should know where it's at. Brother Chris Long and Brother Ronnie are coming. Brother Chris won't be there till probably Thursday afternoon. Brother Ronnie's coming down Tuesday to meet some of them and then drive back down here. So then Saturday we got to leave at 11 a.m. in the morning. So it will be one extra day from last year to give everybody more time to fish and do all the zip lining and do the tubing and do all the stuff that's all around there. So just keep us all in your prayers and everything will be fine and dandy and go well. Also remember the July the 3rd and the 4th meeting. Remember that, Brother Joel Forney and Brother Mike Altig will be speaking at that one. Also, I was chastised Sunday afternoon by someone that heard my comment I made, and I took it a little bit out of context, and I want to apologize for that. Sister Christine had made a comment that I made the comment that it wasn't exactly the way it was, and she's right. So, but she's gracious enough to laugh about it. But she said if we were having a 50th, if church was having a 50th anniversary, you'd want to be here. And I just said you should be here, or you need to find you another place. Well, you do. I mean, so this is your home church. That's me saying that. So, are we okay? We good, Christine? You okay? You good? Okay. Can't tell if her face is red or not. Also, Brother Paul just called. Well, he sent me a text and said to tell everyone hello. They made it to Minnesota. They're on their honeymoon for a couple of weeks up there. Why you'd go to Minnesota on a honeymoon, I don't know. But they're coming back. They're going to be living. They'll be living down here, so don't get so sad. They'll be back. But they were married, and they've gone up there to work on his affairs and get all this stuff moved down here. So he's going to be a Georgian. We just got to work on his talking. Make sure he can say his words right. But he does a real good job playing. It's good that we've got all these now more musicians and more musicians and more musicians. It's just wonderful that we have those. And we've got extras because there was a time in this church when it first started, there was no extras. Daddy led singing. Joyce played the piano. Daddy led singing. Joyce played the piano. Daddy led singing. Joyce played the piano. And then Daddy come out and preach. He just kind of worked himself right into preaching. So, but we've come a long way from there. And thank God for 50 years of being able to, for God to multiply. God did this. It wasn't a man. It was God that did it. A man can't do this. Right? But God through a man can do it. So we honor all that. But just, Paul said, tell everybody, hey, and that he'd see you in a few weeks. So let's bow our heads. Any other announcements? I think we're good with that. If you have any questions about the anniversary meeting, please ask someone. We will be meeting later on about that. We've still got a few weeks left. We've already got the facility. We've already got the food lined up. We know kind of what we're doing. So thank God for that. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now that you would sanctify us, Lord. Settle us down, Lord. Now we don't have to think about anything else but you for a few moments. Lord, all the cares of life, Lord, we need to just leave them at the door so we can sit down and hear from you tonight. So it will not be a meeting that will be wasted. It'll be a meeting that will carry us up the statue of a perfect man, that'll draw us closer to you, that'll make us better Christians in this world. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make. Lord, we pray that you'd heal the sick. Be with the ones that are not here, Lord. We ask you to sanctify them, Lord, as they're traveling, the young youth that are going to Beaufort, Lord. We pray that you'd touch them, Lord, and give them a powerful service. Father, we pray, too, that you would just be with the church here, Lord. Bless each one. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord, and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated in the Lord as blessed. I'm going to read Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So that's where we're at today. We'll pull the chart up in just a minute, but I want to read here in Isaiah. We have a promise of a Messiah, and that Messiah we know was Jesus Christ. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We know that to have this plan of redemption, you've got to have two things. You've got to have someone that is lost, and then you've got to have somebody that's able to redeem them. If Boaz had not been in the position, he could have never acted the right or had the right of redemption toward Naomi and Ruth if he was just, number one, he had to be kin to them. Number two, he had to have enough money and property, and he had enough prestige that when he went before the council, in other words, they didn't say, now you're a drunk, you can't do that. No, he was an upstanding man. So God came himself, the only upstanding man there was that could redeem us. And it was an eternal plan that he didn't develop when he got here. It was already developed before the foundation of the world. Amen. And he was down here playing his, come down to play his part through a virgin that conceived and brought forth a son. And as we were talking about last Sunday, this man, you know, we, just for a minute, for the ones that are, that are here that wasn't here Sunday, you know, you look at Jesus' life and we think we have problems. Right. He didn't have many friends. Right. His friends that he had didn't understand him. Right. Yeah. They didn't. No one understood this man. This man named Jesus was so peculiar and so different than anything else in the world until they called the Lord Jesus Christ himself, they called him a devil. They called him Beelzebub, not just the devil, they called him the prince of demons. They said, you're just a winebibber. Why are you sitting around with sinners and publicans, and why are you doing this and why are you doing that? And I like what Jesus said. He said, you don't need a physician if nobody's sick. He's, in other words, so he's telling them the physician was there for those that were sick. And he was also telling them self-righteous Pharisees that he can't help them. This is the doctor. I'm doctoring this group of people. I'm not doctoring you because I know who you are and where you come from. Remember, because he told that same group, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Amen. Now, when are we going to look at the same thing? Like I said Sunday, I want the devil to be so uncomfortable in this place from now on. I want him to be so uncomfortable in your place. I want him to be so uncomfortable in your mind. I want it to be unfamiliar territory that he's charging through when we start talking about the Word of God and start talking about the mysteries of God and start talking about living right and doing the right thing in the world. Because listen, Jesus never prayed us out of the world. He prayed for us to stay in the world, but to sanctify us while we're in the world. So he gave us provisions to make it into this world. But this man, even from a child, his mother didn't hardly understand who he was. She lost him at 13 years old and had to go find him back in the temple, and left him at the Feast of Pentecost, the prophet of God tells us. And she had to go back and find him. And when she found him, she said, in other words, your father and I. Well, that wasn't his daddy. Right. Yeah. Brother Brown said she let the bar down. She let the bar down on that one, because the first thing that little 13-year-old kid turned around and said, I'm about my father's business. I'm not in a carpenter shop. So he was coming to a position. Now, kids, don't y'all try that with your daddy and mama, okay? Unless you really know that you're about your heavenly father's business, don't use that one, okay? It won't work. Because your mama and daddy's going to say, prove it. But see, she knew though, but listen, when you look in the Bible, I like when you read the rest of that scripture, it says that Jesus was subject unto them for the rest of the time. Amen. He wasn't a rebellious child. He wasn't someone that said, bless God, I'm God Almighty. Why are you in here bothering me? No, he just told them who he was, told them what he was doing there, and then the Bible says he left with them, and he didn't go kicking and screaming. Right. He was subject unto them for the rest of the time until he come to the age of the 29 and a half years old to go to the River Jordan for his ministry. Amen. So let's all take that. We know they called him Beelzebub, and if they call you that, that's okay. Because they called Jesus that. But see, to be in this eternal plan of redemption, that's how Jesus had to come. He couldn't have come any other way. That's my point. He couldn't have come any other way. If he would have come a different way, then the Pharisees all would have accepted him. They'd have said, oh, you're the main man. You've come right here to this temple, and you're right here in this church, and you're here with us, and we got a place for you, and you can sit right here next to, I like what Brother Bram says, right next to Dr. Jones right here. You can come sit right here. No, he was unfamiliar in their place. So I want the devil, though, to be unfamiliar in this place. Right. I want us to say things that he don't understand. Right. I want us to know things that he will never know. Come on. And we're guaranteed, if we got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's exactly what we're doing. Right. Because he can't have the mind of Christ, but you and I can. Right. You and I can know what to do with the Word of God when he gives it to us. Right. Satan does not know how to do that. Right. He has a problem with following the Word. I don't know how I got off on that, but let's go back to Isaiah 53 verse 8 and read this. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? As we were talking about Sunday, Jesus never had a group of children as far as natural children, because that's not why he came. He came for an eternal purpose, to get his children that he had saw in the mind of God that would accept him, but not from the loins, but from his mouth, a spoken word seed bride. Amen. Because that's what the sower went out to sow. If the sower was the Son of Man, he wasn't physically throwing in the parable, he was, but Brother Dale's not physically throwing seed. Brother Matthew, all the different ministers are not physically throwing seed. No, they're throwing you the Word of God, and you got to make sure it lands in good ground. Amen. Or you can kick it out, or you can let it go by the wayside. See, you have an opportunity to get the Word of God and put it in the good ground, right, so it can produce 60, 80, and 100-fold. Right. But that's your job to do that. Right. That's it, It's our job to plant. I go out and plant my garden and it's coming up. But you know what? I can't make it come up. I just have to put it in the right environment so that God can work on it through nature to get those seeds out of the ground. Amen? Same way with Brother Dale and all the ministers of God. They're sowing spiritual seed and they're bringing forth spiritual seed word children. Amen? And that's what Jesus came to do. So in Isaiah 53, they're asking a question. Says, look, he was cut off from the land of the living. Who's going to declare this man's generation? I was saying, telling everybody Sunday, I said, look, Jesus, as a normal man, when they saw him hanging on the cross, I'm sure Caiaphas and all them people said, we're finally through with him. We don't even have to have a son. He doesn't have a natural son. He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have a progeny on earth or a genealogy on earth. Once we get rid of him, buddy, we're done. We ain't got to worry about none of that. But they just don't know.
Right.
That about several days later on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, that a bunch of children, a bunch of Jesuses got born on the day of Pentecost. But he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. What about the God of the universe? Didn't even own a pillow. Didn't even own a place to put his head and didn't even own a burial site. But he fulfilled every scripture in the Bible. When are we going to start fulfilling our part of that scripture in the Bible? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. That's where you were. You're identified in the soul of God. Because you weren't in the body, physical body. You were in the soul of Almighty God. Because that soul was the only soul that can come back on the believer and make you God Almighty in human flesh, called a bride. The only one that can do that, so that's the key pin of this whole eternal redemption plan, is that Jesus had to come here to release that life so that you and I can be born again. Because that's what he told Nicodemus. You must be born again. Nicodemus said, if I got to go back and get my mama's... See, he was carnal. Because he came here by an act. Jesus didn't come here by an act of man. He came here by an act of God. So he was telling him, said, no, Nicodemus, you need to be born what? From above. And that's just part of this eternal plan. And we'll get to that in a minute in the resurrection. I love what the prophet of God said about resurrection. He said, this whole plan is hinged on resurrection.
Right.
If there's no resurrection, there's no plan.
Right.
So we'll get to that in just a second. Let's go to John 1, verse 11. Because we got to tie this in. He had to give Israel a chance. Because Israel was his chosen bride in the Old Testament. He had to give them a chance first because you got all those people in the Old Testament that was depending on Jehovah to become the Messiah to come and save them from all that Roman stuff that they got themselves tied into. The problem they didn't realize God didn't put them there. They put themselves there. They disobeyed God. They went whoring. We're going to read that in just a minute in Jeremiah. Where he had to put her away, he put all Israel away because of the idols and the idolatry that they followed. But he came unto his own and his own received him not. But I like this scripture because see, this opens the door to everybody. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So now everybody's got the power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In other words, your new birth is what's going to carry you into this eternal plan. Your natural birth is going to carry you to a grave.
Right.
Believe me, you're going to go one of the two.
Right.
Are you ready for both? That's my question. You're going to meet one of them. Are you ready for one of them? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's go to Jeremiah 3, verse 6. Jeremiah, you didn't know Josiah was a king, did you? Yeah. That Josiah. Yeah. Oh, Josiah Canada. Well, it says Josiah in the days of Josiah the king. But now what happened to Israel? They backslid. So he had to put them away. She's gone up on every high mountain and every green tree, and there played the harlot. Now we know what a harlot is an ill-famed woman. If they would have stayed married to Jesus Christ, she would have been his bride.
Right. Yeah.
But they did not. They went whoring. And now remember, after she did those things, and see, I said after she had done all these things, after. You can't take her back.
That's right.
See, in the case of marriage and divorce.
Right.
You have to be careful. If your wife goes out and commits adultery, you can either bring her back or you can kick her out. And that's what God did. I'm not going to get into marriage and divorce because we should know these things. Turn thou unto me, but she returned not.
Right.
He gave her a time to repent and she wouldn't. So he had to put her away. When for all the causes, verse 8, whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. So now, as we said before, let's read Romans 11, verse 25. If this had not happened, we as Gentiles would have never come into the plan of God.
Right.
But listen, being part of the eternal plan of God, where he foresaw a Gentile bride, this had to happen.
Yeah, right.
He knew the provision was already there that Israel was going to backslide, because in Daniel 9, we'll read in just a minute, listen, he gave them 70 weeks, and he wanted that, when he gave them that 70 weeks, Brother Bob, he wanted that to be a continuous 490 years. Because
he
wanted to redeem them. He wanted to get them back. He wanted to buy them back out of the pawn shop. But what happened was, he knew that it was a Gentile bride laying there that he had to let out because she's part of the plan. And as the prophet of God said, and has to be made known.
Amen.
So in order for us to be made known, listen, God can't be married to Israel. You can't be married to two women at the same time. You can't have two living wives. So he had to put her away so he could marry a Gentile bride. But now not only did he put her away, he blinded her. Just for me and you, he blinded her eyes for several thousand years just for me and you. Listen, all that turmoil they're having in Israel right now is because of me and you. Because when we leave, God's doing what? He's going over there. Because listen, he can't be over there and over here at the same time. He can't have two wives like that. He's already put this one away. He's going to restore her, but not back to the position she was. She will not be bride again, but he can't forget her. See, he's got to go back to his own scripture. And I didn't bring it, but I was reading it not too long ago where he said, how many stars can you count? How many sands in the sea, on the seashore? Can you count them? And he said, no, you cannot. He said, I'll never forget Israel. If you can count them, I can forget them. You can't count them, so I can't forget Israel. Because they're part of the plan. Because there is redemption included. There is resurrection included in this plan. And Israel has been, they've already went through one resurrection. Jesus' resurrection, the Bible says, when the graves opened, some of them came out of the ground. All right? So Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. See, now this is a mystery because most of the denominational world don't have a clue what Daniel 70 weeks is. They know one thing for sure though. They do know that God's dealing with us and then he's going to deal with Israel. But they don't have no idea. They might have a clue, but we know exactly. That's why I said about Sunday, if this prophet is not a true prophet, how are we going to find something better?
Right.
And it's like the analogy that I use. I work for the post office and we don't do things very fast because we're government, but, anyway. But me and the UPS driver was talking about a year or so ago when Amazon got real hot. And, everybody was ordering from Amazon and they were giving. And now in certain places, they have the Amazon grocery thing that you can order and in 2 hours. You get your groceries. 2 hours.
Right.
Delivered to your house.
Yeah, right.
You can't beat that.
Right.
That's what me and the UPS driver. Who is going to come out of all this and say, I'm better than that? You can't. Well, that's what I'm saying about Brother Branham. How are you going to send us somebody better than what he's already sent us? There's not anything better except Jesus Christ in a bride. That's the only thing that's better, is God being here in a bride. But we're going to be here because he sent a prophet to open our blinded eyes. Because you know what? We were blinded. By denominations, by sin, by all the stuff that we did, we were blinded, but we blinded ourselves. There's another quote where Brother Branham says, he said, now, God blinded them. God didn't blind you. It's all on you now. God didn't blind you. No, I'm going to blind you and you can't come in. No, not Gentiles. But blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Do you know that's not the first age? That's not the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. It's this age. It's when the fullness of the Gentiles, there is no other Gentile age after this one. This is it right here. We're in the end time. So all Israel shall be saved. That is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. And how's he going to come out? He's going to come out in two prophets, Moses and Elijah, which is probably already over there waiting. The two men. Okay? I think it's that close. Listen, they're not going to be babies. They're going to be grown men when God enters them and anoints them with Elijah and Moses' ministry. We're going to be gone, but they're not going to be little children. They're going to be adults. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sin. Now, how's he going to do that? Through Daniel 70 weeks. Through the sixfold purpose. We're going to read it in a minute. He's going to do that. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. Now look, enemies, yes, they don't like us. We're Gentiles. We're club carriers. We're heathens, they call us. But you know why? They're our enemy for your sake and my sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. In other words, I can't forget them. Amen. So now let's go to Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined. We'll just run through it real quick. Upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do six things. This is gonna parallel. We already done it several times with the six seals because six seals finishes redemption. Christ is the seventh seal. We know that. So to finish the transgression, whose transgression? Israel, not yours. You're Israel, to make an end of their sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, you can do that too in your justification and your sanctification and your baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's exactly what God does. In three stages, he gives you the new birth through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's going to do the same thing within. Finish the transgression, make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity. Then look, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. And we know how that happens, we're not going to go through it because we've been through it before. But know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So what, 62 and 7? Somebody say 69. Thank you, brother. And what? 69. That would be 69. Well, that's 69 weeks, not 69 and a half, not 68 and a third or 68 and a half. Amen? 69 weeks, all right? 7 weeks, and 7 weeks, and 60, which is 2 times 3 is 6, 62. The street shall be built again, the wall even troublous times. We know that was in Nehemiah, and the edict that came from not Cyrus, was it Cyrus or one of the two, all right? But after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now see, this is where you and I have to come in. Because why was the Messiah cut off? Not for himself.
Right.
But not for himself. He was cut off so that me and you could come in.
Right.
He was cut off because we're going to read here in Luke, he told them to go to the upper room because they were going to be endued with power from on high. And then another group of people was going to come in, 3,000 downstairs. And then we're going to read here in just a minute, whereas the gospel keeps moving, Paul stands up one day and he said, I've had it with you Jews. Lo, I turn to the Gentiles. So that started in there, started that Gentile dispensation
that you and I are in now, but you know what? We're at the closing of it. We're not at the first of it. They were at the first. We're at the closing of this thing. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That was Titus in AD 70. He destroyed the city and took all the menorah. He took the Holy of Holies. He took everything back to Rome with him. We know that Rome has all that. That's why Israel's going to make a covenant with them so they can get that stuff back. Amen? Just makes sense. And the end, therefore, shall be with the flood, and to the end the war desolations are determined. And look, and he shall confirm, who's the he? The Antichrist. Because he's going to break it. So it can't be Christ.
Right.
Christ never makes a covenant, breaks it. Me and you make covenants, we break it. The devil makes a covenant, he always breaks them.
Right.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for now. If you had 69, and you need 70 weeks to finish Daniel 70 weeks to restore Israel and the city, there's that 1 week left. And it comes after the rapture takes place.
Right.
Man, just really simple. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Who's he? The Antichrist. What I just said. Rome is going to make a covenant with the Jews. And said, if you'll do this, I'll give you your menorah back. I'll give you your ark back. I'll give you all these things that I'm holding. I'll give them back to you. But you got to go into this covenant. And then for 3.5 years, they go in that covenant. But during that 3.5 years, that's when God is going to send Moses and Elijah, the spirit of Moses and Elijah, and two men, two prophets that go to Israel, or don't go to Israel, they're already over there. And they're going to preach Jesus Christ, not the ark and the menorah and all these things and the pots and all that stuff. They don't have anything to do with building any temple. They're not part of that Temple Mount people. They're just not. And they're definitely not going to be, because they're going to be killed and they're going to have a resurrection. Amen. And for the overspreading of abomination, in other words, in the midst of the week, he's going to cut it off, and then Armageddon's going to happen, but you and I are going to be in a glorious time somewhere else. We won't be here.
Right.
And it doesn't matter, because we're in eternity anyway, because we've already went through a body change, and we'll look at that here real quick. Let's go to Luke 24:46. And he said unto them, this is Jesus, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Look, among all nations, beginning in it in Jerusalem.
Right.
Beginning in Jerusalem, but to all nations. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Or dunamis. From on high, which is power, but I went to that word endued. That word endued means to sink into. Let's look at the next one. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. There was tongues of fire on every one of them, and then what happened? The Holy Ghost just sank right down into those people to sink into, or clothed in, or arrayed in. See, that's when they got their white robes. And Brother Dale was going to cover this probably a little bit more, but we don't have to go get a white robe. See, that's why we don't have to stand before judgment. Why would we stand the judgment with white robes already on? We stand in judgment with those white robes on. Which is what? The white robes is the what? The righteousness of the saints. When you get born again here, folks, there you get your robe. Because that's the Holy Ghost. That's that Holy Ghost veil that God's putting back on you that was taken off of Adam and Eve, not taking their Holy Ghost away from them, but that veil to keep you what? Straight. To keep us straight. The Holy Ghost is put here to keep us straight and to get us out of here. But see, he's already veiled me and you. We don't have to get white robes. You already got them if you're born again.
Amen.
So don't go looking for, boy, I'll wait when I get my white robe. No, you already got it. It's your theophany.
Right.
It's your glorified body. It's all those things is right there. You already got it. You don't have to go somewhere to get it.
Right.
See, thank God for a prophet.
Amen.
They put all that together for us so we don't have to worry about, well, when do I get a white robe? Well, when do you think we'll get a white robe? I don't know. Do you think you'll get it over there? No, I think we might get it over here. No, well, no, we're going to get it right here. If you're born again, you already got it.
Amen.
Had enough of this bickering. Why bicker when he's already told us the truth the first time?
Right.
Amen? God told us the truth. Man's been telling us lies, and then God sent us a man to tell us the truth. But it was a man that was vindicated by the Bible. Amen? All right, let's go to Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And then what? Then that fire just went right down in them. They were endued with power from on high. Because listen, they didn't walk out of that upper room with this little flame still on their head. You know, you see these little Catholic pictures of Jesus, you know, even as a baby, and you got this little flame sticking up right here. Or you see that little glow that was around him. Now listen, if it had been a glow around him the whole time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, man, thought he was somebody. No, he was hid. He was hid from the world. He was hid from those people. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, they received their white robes and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, way down there a little bit further in verse 8, how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. Why are these people all there? Because it was the day of Pentecost. It was a feast time. It was a feasting. They all came to eat. And boy, some of them got more than they bargained for. Because they left more full than they got there. Because they got filled with the Holy Ghost while they was there. And then they took the message. If you'll look at some of these on a map, Asia, Egypt, Libya, Rome, Cyrenes, Cretes, Arabians. The word of God spread. But now let's go back to Jerusalem for a minute. Because that's where the center of everything was at. Because Jesus told them, said, go to Jerusalem and you'll be endued with power from on high. So that's where it all got started from. Acts 13, verse 46. When we get finished with this, brothers, if you'll pull the chart up, we'll take a look at it. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. I think it's about time we waxed bold. And said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Talking to who? Jews. But seeing you put it from you, and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. There was a door opened up and Paul stepped in that door. We know Peter had a little bit to do with that. We know Peter was the spokesman on the day of Pentecost. We know Peter did go to the Jews, but listen, he wasn't the prophet that opened the word to the Gentiles. Paul was a prophet. He was the prophet messenger of that first church age. So his word is what that first church age was built upon. Everybody got that? Amen. Amen. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Now that's the scripture in the Old Testament. See, the Jews know the Gentiles are going to be included in this. But see, they're thinking they're the bride and we're the lesser servant. But it's just opposite. Because, see, remember, they don't think Messiah's come. They don't think they went whoring. They don't think God's put them away. That's how blinded they are. But when their eyes are open, according to Zechariah, when they see these things, they say, oh, man, we're in trouble. We killed the Messiah. We've been wasting 2,000 years. And remember what they're going to say? Don't worry. It was done to preserve life. In other words, it preserved us and it preserved them. And when the light of the Gentile that thou shouldest be for salvation, see to the ends of the earth. Because Jesus told the disciples, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and then the end shall come. This is the only time that it could be in every country simultaneously. Right now, they could be listening to this service in every country on the face of this earth. Every country. Because we're in 100-and-something countries ourselves already, people, you know, clicking in and listening to us and watching. So that's being fulfilled. But you know what he said? He said, once that happens, he said, the end will come. Then the end shall come, and it's here. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Jesus, every time he would see a a Gentile and something will happen, like the Syrophoenician woman, the centurion. Every time he walked up to a Gentile, he said, I've never seen no faith like this, because remember, Jairus is grabbing him by the hand. Hey, you got to come touch my daughter. Hey, you got to come touch. Even the little lady that touched the hem of his garment, if I can just touch. They had to have a touch and a feel. They had to have a sign. They had to have a wonder. The Gentiles just said, hey, that centurion said, look, I know you're a man of authority. I'm a man of authority. Whatever I say goes. He said, okay, whatever you say goes. See, that's the faith of the Gentiles. See, we've converted back to the Israel part where we need signs and wonders and touching and feeling. Where all through the New Testament, he said, I've never seen faith like this before. Called one a dog. And she said, but sir, dogs have to eat. Just throw me a crumb. You know, you can give them 10 commandments all you want to. Just throw me a crumb of your grace. Just give me some of your grace. That's all I want. I don't want a full course. Now, full course is coming this end time, but that girl was sitting there saying, I just need one thing from you. One thing. A crumb. And that believing of that one crumb, Brother Zach, it healed her daughter. One crumb. Didn't Jesus stand up one day and say, if you have the faith of a watermelon seed, if you have the faith of a pumpkin seed, if you have the faith of a peat seed, that's even bigger. That's this big. No, he said a grain of mustard seed. You can just go, and mustard's gone. You can't even see it. Yeah. You have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed. Right. You can move a mountain. Right. And that's to the Gentiles. Because when the Gentiles heard it, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do every Wednesday and every Sunday. Yeah. Glorify the Lord, the word of the Lord that's come to the Gentiles. This is all supposed to be to Jews. But it's to us. Because we believe without having signs. We believe without having wonders. Let's pull up the chart, if you don't mind, please. Everybody all right? It's only 8 o'clock. Don't fall asleep. Everybody's doing good. But here's the chart we were looking at. Julie's not here. Okay. Get Julie a chart. She said she can't see this. So I know some of y'all can't see it because he's got his eyes out like this. Yeah. Okay, but here, let's go through this. It's okay. Can you pull it to right there? Thank you. That's good. Can anybody see that counter now?
Yeah.
All right. So listen, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Now look, Matthew 27 verse 51 through 53. We're looking at Luke 23, verse 46, Matthew 27, 50. Look at all the different ones. This is Jesus when he resurrected. And this little dot, dot, dot shows where Jesus, when he died, where did he go? First place he went was to hell.
Yeah.
He wasn't in his completeness to be on earth to do the teaching. He had to go in his theophany to hell, to another dimension, to preach to the souls and to what? Be a witness. I'm the one that you turned down way over here at the flood. You turned me down way over here, and you've been waiting, not in paradise, you got to keep on going down further on the chart, there in that fifth dimension, and he went to the souls in prison. There we go. Those who turn God down. Jesus preached to the ones who turned God down in 1 Peter 3, verse 18 and 19, but thank God he didn't stay there, Brother Jeremiah, because you was with him. You don't have to go to hell no more, son.
Right.
You don't even have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about hell no more.
Right.
Why would you even worry? If anybody says hell, just say, look, that ain't my place. Been there already.
Right.
What do you mean you already been there? Yeah, we went there in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The soul of Jesus went to hell to preach to those people. Well, where is the soul of God today?
Amen.
By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's inside of you.
Right.
So you went to hell. Brother Brown said you were on the shores of Galilee. You died with him. You prayed with him. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You should.
Right.
If you have the mind of Christ, then that's why, that's why without the new birth, folks, you're not going to be able to understand the Bible, much less the message.
Right.
If you have a problem with the message, get the new birth.
Right.
It settled a lot of things for me.
Amen.
Like helps me, teaches me what's going on. Because listen, if I have inside of me what wrote that or wrote this, how can he deny and how can there not be a connection?
Right.
You know what the problem is? You're over here, you're the devil trying to connect with God. Ain't happening. But if you take God, and you take God now in human flesh and a bride, it can do nothing but connect. It can do nothing but connect. I'm sorry. If I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. But listen, we're at the end time. We should be in college age, not in kindergarten. And you say, well, I don't know nothing. Well, that's your problem. Because my Bible tells me that if I ask anything in his name, he'll give it to me. So I ask, Lord, reveal to me this message. Reveal to me what's in this Bible. Don't reveal to me what so-and-so said. Don't reveal to me what this... Reveal to me what's in this Bible. And then if that same person that wrote this is inside of you, he's got to open your eyes of understanding. He has to, or you can take him and say, look, you blinded me, and I'm not Israel. Be bold. Say, God, you promised me I could understand this. You promised that you sent a prophet to not make it complicated, but make it simple.
Amen.
Simple. God in simplicity. It's the devil that's complicated this thing. Man, and the devil through man, has complicated this thing. But listen, God and God through man is bringing it right back to where it's supposed to be. Amen? So Jesus preached to the ones who turned God down. Now, he's going back up. He's going through paradise. He's picking up the Old Testament saints. And he's going to put them in a position. Because look, the Old Testament saints, you can make this any way you want to. But the Old Testament saints can't be put in the sixth dimension. They have to be somewhere else. Because the prophet of God said only the sixth dimension is the born again believer. Perfect faith. Now, they're somewhere. Alright, but they're not in the sixth dimension because the prophet of God tells us that paradise was emptied out. So there is no more paradise. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ and he has put them in a place of waiting, of holding. Hebrews 11:40, they without us cannot be made perfect. Alright, so Jesus resurrected, told them, said, you'll be endued with power from on high. I read you the scripture there in Luke. Excuse me. Then he ascended in Acts 1:3-11. His ascension was in a cloud. Right. We know how all that is. But look, how do you know this, Brother Wade? Why? Because remember, we already been through this. The feast day, he fell right on that feast day of Passover. And from Passover to Pentecost is 50 days. Why did Brother Brown say that Jesus was around here 40 or 50 days? It ain't in the Bible. But he can count. Because the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it had to be 50 days. And when Jesus spoke that, it was a 10-day period that you tarry because he ascended and then 10 days later he came back on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1. And entered into a group of people which stopped the 70 weeks of Daniel. 69 weeks were finished. The Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. For who? Me and you. To insert this bride church age. Everybody got that? Say amen. So now Jesus himself, he comes as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now he's in bride form. Whatever he's doing through the bride.
Right.
Everything he's doing through the bride. The sick's being healed, the dead's being raised, the preaching's being done, the people are being saved. God is being magnified through the bride.
Right.
Through people that accepted the new birth.
Yeah.
Then John goes to Patmos and leave that up there because I'm going to read it. Because it says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, See, he immorphed. This is the Son of Man, right? Yeah. Everybody understand that? This is the Son of Man. Amen. This is Jesus in human flesh. John 1:14. Right. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Son of Man. Everybody got that?
Amen.
Now, he came back on the day of Pentecost as the Son of God because he was what? A spirit.
Right.
This body can't be here while this body's here.
Right.
Can't do that.
Right.
He'd have two bodies.
Right.
He, immorphed, went up where? Wherever. Seventh dimension. Immortal. Sends back the Holy Ghost. Immorphed. Into a bride. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Now look, this is not about the paps. That's over this way. Paps is this way.
Yeah.
And what's paps? Breast. Bride form. Right. Amen? Right. His head and his hair were white like wool. What? Judgment. Listen, judgment began when the bride started coming on the earth. When you go to the white throne judgment, not any of you, I'm praying not, but when somebody goes to the white throne judgment, the reason they're being judged is because they met somebody that was bride. Think about it. You say, oh, no, well, I'm just telling you, this brother, the Bible says the saints will judge the earth.
Right.
Even angels.
Right.
So that's why we had to be dispersed all over the world. So that the world could be judged by the bride of Jesus Christ because there's nothing else to judge by.
Right.
You say, no, we got the Word. Where's the bride come from? The bride is the Word.
Amen.
Amen. The bride is the Word for her age.
Right.
You and I, though, are the Word for the full age, for the full time that's here.
Glory.
Amen. Amen. We get the fullness, all seven courses. But listen to this. And his feet was like fine brass as it would burn in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. What is waters? People.
Right.
There's not just one bride. There's millions of Gentile bride
right.
that have come through these church ages.
Right. Amen.
And he had in his right hand seven stars. Everybody got that? If you walk outside tonight and look between the two restrooms, you'll see that very sign. You see Jesus standing there with seven stars in his hand and the seven messengers around him.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Right.
So that's what I'm telling you. If William Branham was not sent to give us a message, we're looking for somebody else.
Right.
Because God promised seven.
Right.
We've only had six if he's not the one.
Right.
And he better send him quick because we're already right at the end over here. We got a lot of stuff that's already fulfilled. Thank God we had a prophet, though. Because you know what? We'd be just like David. David stood one day and passed judgment on himself. Remember when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba? And then Nathan walks in and sly Nathan. Of course, we know it was God making David confess. But he said, David, there was a man. Had all kind of sheep. And said he just wanted one. And said he took that sheep, in other words, from his best friend. I bet David jumped up and he threw them old hands on the desk. And he was blinded at that moment too, I'm sure. Because he wasn't thinking what Nathan was thinking. Nathan knew what he had done. God had already showed it to that prophet what he had done. He said, oh, he said, bring him here or we'll kill him. Nathan said, thou art the man. David, you put your best friend to be killed and you had his wife and committed adultery. You should have been that man. But what did Nathan say? But David, you won't die.
Right. Exactly.
I believe that's what the prophet of God told us in the end time. Not in so many words, but in 1,100 sermons, he said, you have a chance not to die.
Right.
You have a chance not to die. Because of this message of the hour, you have a chance. There was no chance in the other six church ages in the first or the seventh. Pentecost. You're the only one. So our Nathan come on the scene and said, you won't die. Do you believe that? Oh, it's easy for Bella to believe it. She's 13? 14. But what about Sister Cletus? She's 45. I wasn't going to say 94. I'm not telling them you're 94. I just did. But listen, if we don't start believing, we are going to die.
Right.
We've got to start believing
right.
what's already been sent. We're not preaching some new doctrine. We're not preaching some new thing. We're not finding a new tape. We're not, we don't have, you know, 10 books that nobody else has got.
Right.
And that's what we're preaching out of because we got this little secret.
Right.
No. It's all been put in the open. It's all been out there where we can see it.
Amen.
We've had our Nathan come on the scene, you know, David repented. God accepted his repentance and he moved on. What are you going to do? And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a what? Sharp two-edged sword. In other words, what? A word for that age. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in the street. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hands on me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. Now see, God Almighty is going to tell John the revelation. So John's not going to have to guess, because John was just commissioned to write what he saw. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the 7 churches. Now, not churches, building. Because if you did, you only had one at Ephesus, one at Smyrna, Pergamos, one at Thyatira, one at Sardis, one at Philadelphia, and one at Laodicea. Where was it? No, it's us. It's the people. Because of the voice of many waters. It was the voice of many waters. Let's go to that word where we see star, the prophet of God, the star and the angel. Look what the Greek lexicon tells us. That it is a, let's go ahead and go to that if you don't mind, brother. Brother Joe. Because we're going to read some quotes here in just a minute. Give them a second. It takes a minute to get that up and get it off. But the Greek lexicon says, a messenger is one who is sent, a messenger from God. Yeah. So we were promised a messenger from God. Not just a normal, listen, we've had messengers. There's been some really good people that brought messages down through the ages.
Right.
But we've only had these 7 messengers from God that brought a specific message for a specific time and for a specific area.
Yeah. Right.
Listen, really, until now, Martin Luther wasn't known in Africa when he was alive. He wasn't known in the United States because he wasn't in the United States yet. You understand what I mean? But now in this end time, there's full access to this last messenger, William Marion Branham. Every nation on the face of this earth has an opportunity to listen to the voice of God for this age. Now Luther now can be heard because some of his writings have been put in a book. But I'm talking about when Luther was alive. They were just starting to produce Bibles. Much less produce messages of somebody. But we have a messenger from God that we have every one of his messages.
Amen.
Every one of them. Digital. You can put them on your watch now and take them anywhere you want to. We have no excuse. None whatsoever. So let's listen to this quote on the spoken word's original seed. Because remember, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. So he sent Elijah the prophet to me and you.
Right.
He gave us an opportunity to hear the voice of God for our age. Now watch. Watch this right here. Spoken word's original seed. The messenger of Malachi 4 will appear at God's appointed time. We are all looking for him. Look how humble. We believe he will come. That is according to his word. It will be at the end time, which it is time now for to see it. He will be correctly dedicated to the word, as they have always been indicated by God's word and vindicated. God will vindicate what he preaches. I don't see how that they can't see that.
Right.
He's been vindicated by what he preaches? No doubt. To be the truth, as he did Elijah, for it is Elijah coming, making ready for the Mount Zion rapture. The rapture can't come in any other age but this age. Listen to this. Number two, Laodicean church age. We kind of quoted it. I believe we can all quote it without even looking at the quote. But now this messenger of Malachi 4 will do two things. Revelation 10:7, because he had to bring both of them in.
Right.
It's going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And what did he do? He took all of the doctrines that was lost during the church ages of the no eternal hell, the no Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, the no Trinity. That was not in the first two or three church age, or one, two, and three church age almost, because there was no denominational setup during that time.
Right.
So what he had to do, though, is he turned what? The hearts of the children, babbling Pentecostal babies, he said, back to the faith of the fathers.
Yeah.
All right? That's still not going to bring a rapture because it didn't the first time.
Right.
Everybody got that? I'm going to be a little slow here for just a second, and then we'll finish. So he had to do two things. He had to have two messages.
Yeah.
Number one, caught the attention of the people. Number one, he said, was the healing campaign. Number one is when he started, you know, the discernment.
Right.
Everybody got that? But that was not the message.
That's right.
That was to turn the hearts back and get what? The loose ends straightened up. God's not going to come and pick up a bride that's got a bunch of loose ends.
Right.
But he's going to come back and pick a bride up that knows the voice of God. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders. Don't let this trip you up. It's the voice of God revealing the word to you. That's what the thunder, they made it everything in the world, but just simply God speaking to you through a fivefold ministry, or speaking to you personally, telling you where you are, what you're doing here, and where you're going. Because you go out there and you ask 99% of the denominational world who they are.
Yeah.
We're the church. We're Baptist. We're Methodist. We're Pentecostal.
Right.
But could you, are you bride? Bride? I don't know about that bride thing business. I don't know if I can be bride or not. But I know that mama made it, so I'm going to make it.
Yep.
Right? I had a lady tell me, old lady there, a neighbor of ours. And her son is just as good as gold. Spoke highly of us. He was a banker, but he ain't darkened the door of a church since he was a little boy. But his mama told us that I'll know he'll go to heaven because he went to church when he was little. Remember, Jim, she told us that sitting in her house. And he ain't never darkened a door, not one, of a church. We just said, okay, just smile. You smile at him, mama. What are you going to do? You ain't gonna say anything about it. But listen, we know the truth. We can't plead that. My son's not going to make it because I come in the message.
Right.
My son's not going to make it because I'm a preacher.
Right.
No, you got to have it yourself.
Amen.
Oh, Dad, no. Daddy's going to make it, so I know I love my daddy. You better love your daddy that didn't birth you the first time.
Right.
If you love that heavenly father, you don't have to worry about the other father. A lot of that stuff will work out if you'll love the heavenly father first.
Right.
Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelations 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. We've already been through. What is the seven seals?
Right.
Redemption.
Glory.
Amen.
Not a cloud.
Right. All right, come on.
Not an earthquake. Not polygamy.
That's it.
Not everything man's made it. It's this whole plan, eternal plan of redemption that was laid out before us.
Yeah.
And thank God, some people's been preaching it for a while.
Right.
And one day we'll get it.
Amen.
Which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these what? Divinely. Divine. You got to have the new birth to be divine.
Right.
To be connected to divine, you got to have some divine inside of you.
Amen.
I started to say divinity, but that's a candy.
Right.
You got to have some divinity inside of you, which wouldn't be too bad.
Right.
Pop loves divinity.
Amen.
Amen. See what I mean? It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths. Okay, look. This is a promise that they will be revealed. Revelation 10:7 says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, this mystery, one mystery, will be made known. Now who?
Amen.
It's got to be made known to somebody. Listen, this is a two-part deal.
Right.
You got to have the Redeemer and someone to redeem. The plan of redemption includes people.
Glory.
So it will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally,
right.
What is literally? I preached on this a long time ago. Literally is not a type. Literally is not, I'm going to just turn this way just a little bit and then I'm going to turn back. No. I'm Samuel Wade Dale, Jr. the second, or however you want to call me. I'm that literal person.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not a copycat.
Right.
I'm not a second person.
Right.
I'm not an imposter.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Mama can tell you.
Yeah.
They named me. But you know what? See, I had something to go back on. I had a witness of who I am.
Yeah.
You got a witness. The Bible says a greater cloud of witness.
Right.
That's why I said you're not a type. Everything in the Bible types me and you. So that makes us literally Jesus Christ in bride form on the earth. Adam and Eve were one person, literally one person. You say, no, brother, wait, they were two people walking around, but they had the same DNA. Through that great mystery of Genesis 1:26, God divided them. But yet they both were exactly the same. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Literally turned the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. Thank God for that. So this whole plan is based on resurrection. Real quick before we close. This whole plan of redemption is based on resurrection. But it's got to have somebody that can get us up.
Right.
So there's got to be a higher power that has already went through all these things. He's already been through resurrection. Now listen to this. Let's look at Job 14 verse 12. We'll read a few scriptures and then we'll close, if that's all right. So man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Seems like there's no hope. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Not a bad thing. Hide me. Hide me in the grave. That thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me, look, a set time and remember me.
Right.
Jesus remembered Lazarus. He knew who he was.
Right.
And he knew where he was.
Right.
And that connection, even that earthly connection between Jesus and Lazarus, drew him 4 days to go see his friend Lazarus. So don't worry, folks. He's not going to forget you. That's why death, that's why all the sting of death's been taken away of. That's why all these mysteries that, well, we don't know where we are. Are we still laying in the grave? Are we sitting there where with the coffin? We can't get out of the coffin. Are we over here in this place? Are we over here in this place? Even the prophet of God explained to us there's not even a burning hell yet.
Right.
I mean, who teaches that?
Yeah.
Most of the denominational world, that you going to, you know, that person just burning in hell right now, eternally.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time. Listen, there's been 7 appointed times. 7 church ages that have passed on. Yes, even some of this church age has been already passed on.
Right.
And remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He knew there was going to be a resurrection and a change.
Right.
He knew he wasn't going to come up the way he went down.
Yeah.
Corrupt. He see man go down, he don't see man no more. But look, thou shalt call. That's my whole point.
Right.
There has to be a resurrection call.
Right.
It couldn't be in the first church age, 1 through 7. Couldn't happen. Why you keep saying that, Brother Wade? Because listen, we're not in a church age.
Right.
I thought we were in the eighth day. I thought we were in the manifestation of the eternal word of God in the eighth day.
Right.
Sure, we're living in Laodicea. We're living in the seventh church age. Seventh church age goes all the way through the millennium.
Right. Exactly.
But not for the bride.
Right. Amen. Right.
Thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. There had to be a man die and pay the price, and that man resurrected. Without that, we're like Job. We just stay in the ground. But thank God, we know what Jesus Christ went through.
Amen.
And look, for as in Adam all die. We blame Eve for a lot of things that goes on in this world. But the Bible says in Adam all die because he's the one that sold us out.
Exactly.
Adam's the one that sold us out. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. We're not first church age. Listen, we're not under first church age. We're not under second church age. We're not under third. Sure, we got the anointing of all those ages. But this anointing for this end time is a body change and a rapture and a resurrection. Amen? And we'll tell you that order in just real quick, if that's okay. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. In other words, he came up first. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones and they stay that sat upon them and judgment was given unto them.
Right.
Hmm. Them.
That's right.
Yeah. Us. And I saw the souls of them were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, that they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Right.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is the resurrection you and I must pinpoint.
Amen.
Is the first resurrection.
Right.
Listen, if you're born again, you'll come up in the first resurrection. If you're not born again, you're going to have to wait to the second resurrection.
Right. Exactly.
That's just pretty simple because look, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now hold on just a minute. You say, I'm not going to die. That's okay. You can be a part. You're going to be a part of it still.
Yeah. Right.
There's got to be a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Got to be somebody that announces this part. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. You know, the whole bride that's alive and passed on is going to have part in that first resurrection.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
On such the second death hath no power.
Glory.
Amen. Right. Oh, my. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Couple more scriptures and we'll be done because we got to get to 1 Thessalonians and let's see the order of this. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And that's the truth. A lot of people don't have hope. They don't know where they're at. They don't know if their loved ones made it. They don't know how they got there or where they're going or how they're coming back here. But we do. We know the whole order of this thing.
Yeah.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. He didn't say anything about death. Sleep with Jesus in Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. Wow. That's me and you. Are you alive tonight? Some of you are, some of you are not. Or you're either clutch your eyes closed anyway.
Yeah.
But if you want to put yourself in a scripture an updated today scripture. That's it. That's it right there. Updated today. Every day you live, it keeps updating to the day. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of an archangel, and the trump of God. Now we know there's, we know what happened. Not a hey, but a message. But listen, that message did. Once you saw the message of the hour, it's like somebody said, hey! And what'd you do? You turned away from what that other little bitty voice was talking to you, and you heard that voice. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. First. Let's don't worry about a body change. Let's don't worry about the day of a rapture. We got to get the dead saints out of the ground first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm going to back these scriptures back up next week. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:47, and then we'll close right here. Musicians, get ready to come. The first man is of the earth, earthy. I'm looking at it right now. This is the earthy man. We were all born earthy men and women. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Your second birth is what you better be depending on. Because your first birth will kill you. Your second birth will kill you, but give you eternal life. Because it destroys the old man, remember? As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. We've seen some of them, right? They're some earthy people. They love this earth. They love being here. They love doing stuff on this earth. So do I, but not none of this junk that's going on now. And as is the heavenly, such as they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, looking at it now, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, if you're born again. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Everybody got that? You saw flesh and blood? The corruptible part. This has got to be changed. It's not going to be done away with, and you get a new one. He's going to change this one. From what? From corruption to incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. You want to put yourself in another scripture? There's your another one. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, what? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. And we shall be changed. So we got to have a resurrection first. Then we'll be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, what a promise! And this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written: death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where's your sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Musicians, come. But we know somewhere in this message, not James Dobson, not Joel Osteen, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. I hope they call me since I announced their name on the line. I hope they do. But then, listen, are you ashamed of what you believe?
No, sir.
I'm like, Brother Dale, I'll challenge anybody.
Amen.
On this word of God.
Right.
But they don't have the shout or the voice or the trumpet. They're not included in this. If they're not bride, you're not included.
Right.
Yes, this is inclusive. Yes, it is segregationalism.
Yeah.
But it's God doing the segregating.
Right.
He wants us to segregate from the things of the world. Get out of that stuff that we're in. The world is waiting for that shout and a voice and a trumpet. Because they'll preach it, but you and I have already received it. See, to us, I don't mean it's old news, but to us, we know what that is. We know where to go to get it. They do not. They do not. They're wandering stars. They're wandering out, wondering whether, well, what shout is it? Is it a hey? No, it's a message that was sent to get your attention. And then you heard from the voice of God. You didn't hear the voice of William Branham. You heard the voice of God. The shout, the voice. And Brother Branham said that was a resurrection trumpet. And I believe we're getting ready. Because it's got to come first. That's the next thing we're looking at. Is the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. But thank God this whole plan hinged on one person saying destroy this body. And I'll raise it up in 3 days.
Right.
He said, well, man, they said, boy, man never spoke like this before. Well, no, they ain't no ever. There's never a man said, I'm going to die and 3 days later, you're going to see me again.
Right.
And he said it. Lazarus didn't. Lazarus just got sick and died. He didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But Jesus stood up one day and he said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, you're going to see it again.
Right.
They said, well, what are you talking about? He said, I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about that temple out there. I'm talking about this temple.
Right.
He said, oh, no, you can't do that. He said, just watch. You just watch. He proved who he was, the prophet of God said, when he resurrected.
Right.
He proved it. But they didn't believe it. Can you believe it? Can you believe that you're resurrected, sitting in heavenly places, already got your white robe on, and ready to go? I hope you do. If you don't, the altar's open.
Amen.
Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Greater than all my sin, the blood that still sins is me.
It's the grace that still sets
me free.
Do what?
To praise Him.
Applied to your life. I hope you don't walk out of this building without knowing that. Yeah.
Get a prayer file for Scott.
It'll touch his body, but Lord, stir his water, Lord, for salvation, Lord. Just make him, Lord, to where he has to look to you, Lord, and that he'll come to you, Father. We know that's a mother's wish. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good.
Of life.
Yeah. That's right.
Greater than all.
Ernie Villanueva just passed away. Don't know any details. We just got a message.
Sometimes we don't understand things. But who's in control? God's in control. We never question. It was his time. And I'll guarantee you that man was ready. They probably had to get out of his way going into that sixth dimension. And we can laugh about that because we know where he's at. We know where he doesn't change. He's the same Brother Ernie. He's done running tiptoes up against somebody, knocked them down probably, saying hello. First time I met the man, he about knocked me down. But we don't know the details. Maybe we'll find out later. It doesn't really matter. He's passed on. So let's remember the family. I don't know if any of his family was alive, is it? Mama or daddy or something. But we all love Brother Ernie.
Amen.
We'll see him again.
Right.
We won't see him in an old body. Nope. Sure, they're going to plant it in corruption. But it ain't going to stay there. It's going to be raised in incorruption. What Brother Ernie preached is going to come to pass.
Amen.
Because he preached a resurrection message. And a positive message.
Amen.
And even in the light of all this, we still need to be positive for him.
Right.
For Brother Ernie. He had just talked to Dad not too long ago, and we were going to try to get him to come down maybe a little bit later on this year. But God bless you. Don't let this be sad. We're supposed to rejoice. Sorry? Oh, my Lord. That's why he knocked down. So. But Brother Ernie liked to jump and hug. He jumped and then he hugged you. You just had to make sure you caught him when he hugged you. But we're supposed to rejoice when this happens, but I guess being human beings, it ain't happening right now for me. But we know he's happy.
Right.
He's met what he's preached. He's met the people that he's preached to, this one on. He's meeting with them right now. And that should be a joyous time. Because he'll never have no sorrow no more. He'll never have to wear them silly boots that he wears for all that stuff in his legs, his neuropathy. I was thinking when I went and let your dog out a couple of days ago, you know, you're welcome. But the last time I saw Brother Gary standing up was on that porch. Not when it was met in, you know, but when it was just a regular porch. And it brought back memories. But you know what? They're good ones. Anybody you've met that's a bride of Jesus Christ, they can't be bad memories.
Right.
Who in the world could think a bad memory of Brother Ernie? Find one. But don't waste your time. Because you ain't going to. But God bless you. Like I said, maybe we'll know some more about it later on, but really doesn't matter. We just need to pray for the people in Cloverdale. I don't know if they were able to. I know Canada's locked down tight. I don't know if they were able to go across the border any at all to go to Brother Biscoe's. And I don't know if Brother Biscoe can come to Washington to do the funeral. So, but maybe God will make a provision because he loved his pastor. There's no doubt he loved Brother Biscoe with all of his heart. And now Brother Biscoe is going to have to do his funeral. So God bless you. We love you. Let's sing that one more time and then we'll be dismissed.
Greater than all my sins is the blood that still cleanses. Is the grace that still stands.